From iHeartRadio, The Dawn, the definitive 24-episode podcast series on the producer of Flashdance, Beverly Hills Cop, and Top Gun, the maverick, Don Simpson. Don lived for the movies, and tragically, he died for them. The L.A. coroner proclaimed Don's body to be the most toxic corpse in the history of California autopsy. Season 1 takes you inside the nefarious circumstances surrounding Don's death. Listen to the podcast series, The Dawn, wherever you get your podcasts.
Vacunar a las familias contra COVID-19 es un paso importante para devolvernos la alegría a todos, incluyendo a los jóvenes, ya que se ha demostrado que la vacuna Pfizer es segura y efectiva para las personas mayores de 12 años. California incluso está agregando nuevas clínicas de vacunas específicamente para jóvenes. Juntos podemos acabar con la pandemia. Visita VaccinateAll58.com o llama al 833-422-4255 para más información.
Gary Hoffman.
Yeah. You feel it, baby?
Shannon Farron.
And I'm not going to brag about how much ass I kicked, but let's just say I kicked every single ass.
Gary and Shannon.
Do we have any Kiss fans in the house today? Morgan. Are you truly a Kiss fan? You're only, what, 19, 20 years old? How can you be a Kiss fan?
I'm 26, and I am a huge fan because I have 3 Kiss shirts.
You have 3 Kiss shirts. Okay, name
that
3 Kiss.
That denotes a big fan.
Oh, wait. Let's see if she can name 3 Kiss songs.
Okay.
Go ahead, Morgan. 3.
Oh, now? Not after the break?
Oh, no. Do you need time to Google?
Well, yeah. Think about it. Morgan? Beth.
Okay. Can you name 3 members of the group?
Love Gun.
Yep. That's not a member of the group.
Oh.
I assume you can name 1 because he's still current today.
Gene Simmons.
There you go.
All right, 2 more.
Thank you. Woo! Stanley Paul.
Other way around.
We're off to a great start.
See, I love this band, I'm telling you.
Anyhow, good morning to Morgan. Good morning to Mondo. Good morning to the lovely Amy King. Thank you for backing me up on that as a Kiss follower and fan. It's just, you
know. Kiss was my older brother's favorite band.
Really?
Favorite. Oh, yeah. So.
Well, we're going to be talking about Kiss in relation to the Rock Hall of Fame later on. There's another kerfuffle. There's another row. There's another scandal. There's another controversy. So we're going to talk about Kiss in relation to that a little later on. And if you heard my tease coming into the show, I was talking about how the CDC gave us the new guidelines. We mentioned it yesterday because it was breaking news yesterday late during my portion of Gary and Shannon before Wayne took over. And we talked about how the CDC had basically lifted the mask guidelines for fully vaccinated people. And I made a brief mention of it, but I wanted to spend a little more time with it today. And I like to say that announcements are easy. The application of these announcements is not going to be as easy. And let's not forget, just because the CDC should say that fully vaccinated people don't have to wear masks outdoors, even in crowded spaces, that you and I are at the same place. What I mean by that is we did not get to this level of comfort, if you ever got there, with masks overnight. It was a gradual process. And for many people, it will probably be a gradual process moving in the other direction. That's one thing that I would want everyone to remember. So let's hold off on the mass shaming of people. It's like, well, the CDC, you said you don't have to wear a mask. Well,
I'm so tempted to say that.
I would
never do it. But yeah, like went for a walk in my neighborhood last night. Everybody outside still had their masks on.
Okay, let's use you, Amy King, not literally you, but you, someone who may believe is you, as an example. I do believe, and actually I know for a fact that many of us are at different points and we're in different circumstances surrounding the virus. What I mean by that is we don't know who is fully vaccinated. And if you take people at their word, let's say everyone understands and knows the CDC recommendation. if you're not vaccinated, because there are plenty of people who are not vaccinated, we're not at herd immunity, then it would be consistent with that person, with the guidelines to wear a mask even when in public outdoors if you're not vaccinated. Because remember, the caveat is you're fully vaccinated. That means you've had your one Johnson & Johnson shot, or you've had two Moderna, two Pfizer, plus the 2-3 weeks after that. That's what it means to be fully vaccinated. So if I'm walking with Amy King, we see someone in their mask, I don't know their status. That's the first thing. And also, we don't know about young people, because it just opened up in terms of 12 to 15-year-olds for just Pfizer, not Moderna, just Pfizer. So we may be getting a little ahead of ourselves by assuming, and it would be an assumption at this point, because we're not asking someone for their vaccine passport per se.
Yet.
Yet. But you know what? I'm not worried about that. That's going to be a case-by-case basis, in the sense of if Vons or Ralph's or the Staples Center or something wants to limit attendance to those people who've been fully vaccinated and can show that, that's going to be up to private business. But going back to that trail or on the or out in the park with Amy King, and let's say I happen upon someone like Mondo, for example. Mondo is one of many friends that I have in my life who would be considered immunocompromised because they've had a transplant. Tawala Sharp, Neil Saavedra, all have had organ transplants. And I know for them it's an individual discussion, but like Tawala, he had to discuss with his doctor. We discussed it on air. I'm not giving out his personal business. He had to discuss with his doctor whether it would be good to get the vaccine, specifically because he was immunocompromised and some of the ingredients he could be allergic to. It could cause an adverse reaction. So he had to wait for some time. I know Mondo. I just talked to Mondo about this. Mondo had a number of surgeries and a transplant. And Mondo, we talked about this before we got on the air. What did your doctor tell you regarding the vaccine?
Yeah, so when the vaccine first came up, it was I wasn't sure if, and the my doctor wasn't sure if I'd be eligible to get it, only because with normal vaccines, I need to have special vaccines, just like for the flu shot. I need a special flu shot in order to get, you know, for that vaccine. So, and there weren't any testings right away for the COVID vaccine. So, but as soon as I got the okay, I immediately went in to get it because his he was worried that if I got it, it was going to be really bad. He had already seen one other patient that had gotten COVID and it was not good.
But the point is, not everyone who has had maybe a heart transplant or a liver transplant or a kidney transplant can get the vaccine because they may be one allergic to it. And maybe they can't necessarily get any of the vaccines, so they may have to wait. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay, so you may encounter someone in a mask who has medical issues. Let me just say it like that. Who are medical issues that are unable to get the vaccine. You may encounter someone who is too young to have received the vaccine as of yet. So there are different reasons why someone may wear a mask, or you may have someone who's just uncomfortable.
Agreed. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But I still think I get the stink eye walking around without my mask from mask wearers.
Oh, you probably do. And now the people who are wearing masks will get the stink eye from the non-mask wearers.
I'm not going to stink eye anybody. It's your choice and your, you know, are you comfortable? What risks do you want to have? Although even the CDC said outdoor there have been virtually no transmissions. But it's your choice.
Yeah.
I
try to err on the side of I don't know someone else's circumstances. And so let's say if someone is approaching me in a mask, I don't know. They could have been a COVID long hauler. And any type of respiratory illness can have really adverse consequences for him, her, or them. I don't know. Maybe they're a person who is a caregiver and they cannot risk even contracting it, because even if they're fully vaccinated, there's still a chance of contracting it, and that person may not develop severe symptoms, but they can still pass it on to someone that they're caring for. Because I have a caregiver for my father, and I would not want that caregiver to be careless in their day-to-day life and contract COVID, even though she's fully vaccinated. and then pass it on to my father, who was fully vaccinated. So there are all sorts of considerations that people are making. All I'm saying is, I think we are all overjoyed at the CDC new guidance, but let's not be quick to judge if you see someone in a mask because you don't know their necessarily their circumstances.
Agreed.
That's all I'm saying. This is the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly here. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. They call me Dr. Love. They call me Dr. Love. They call me Dr. Love. I've got the cure you're thinking of. I have to say that's probably my favorite.
Same.
Yeah. Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly here. We're live everywhere. I'm laughing because Morgan's talking about same. Morgan.
This is my favorite song from them. The Dr. Love call. Mm-hmm.
I think we're clear now. You have more t-shirts than knowledge about the group, right?
That's an opinion.
Okay. I'm trying to think. When did you first discover Kiss, Morgan?
I probably had my first kiss when I was like 13, 14.
No.
He was really cute.
No.
I wonder what he's doing.
Not that type of kiss. Kiss the group? When did you first happen upon their music?
Oh, I think I got a t-shirt of theirs probably around the same time.
When you were 13, 14?
Yeah, like Forever 21 t-shirt or something, you know.
I don't think they sold Kiss shirts in Forever 21.
They didn't?
Don't count. I mean, I'm not positive because I never shopped there, but I walked past the store in the mall, and I don't remember any type of music memorabilia in Forever 21.
Might be getting that mixed up with my AC/DC shirt, my other favorite band.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure you don't know anything about AC/DC either.
Oh, I absolutely do.
Can you name three of their songs?
One second.
Oh, okay. Do you need to
pull
up?
It's not fair to Google.
I know.
Hell's Bells?
Yeah.
You like the confidence I said it with, right?
Mm-hmm. Question mark, I am Ron Burgundy. Back in Black? Ring a bell? No help!
But,
don't ask for help.
I am Iron Man?
Okay. Yes, by the way. But
am I Iron Man?
Yeah. Do you know what movie they use that in?
Iron Man?
There we go!
Woo!
One out of three is not
bad. All right, let's quit while we're ahead.
Yes. Anyhow, this is the Gary and Shannon Show. I'm Mo Kelly, in for Gary and Shannon. We're talking about Kiss in general because there's a controversy brewing regarding the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Kiss. We'll get to that in the next hour. Let me talk politics very quickly. You probably heard Amy King with the news that the House GOP has elected Elise Stefanik as the number three Republican in the caucus, which is the Republican caucus chair. And I've said many times, I didn't necessarily like how they treated Congresswoman Liz Cheney as far as ushering her out, but I am absolutely all for the Republican caucus having a unified front or message. That's what it's for. In the sense that you need to be able to have a caucus with a singular message. And if people don't necessarily like the Republican Party clinging to Donald Trump, well, okay, that's up to the Republican Party to decide. And they made it very specific and explicit today with the inclusion of Elise Stefanik into the House leadership. This is something that she had to say, and she completely and intentionally pulled in former President Trump into not only their messaging going forward, but also, if you read between the lines, who was going to be a viable candidate within the Republican Party, meaning that you'll need basically the blessing of the former president. Quote, voters determine the leader of the Republican Party, and President Trump is the leader that they look to. This is Elise Stefanik. He is an important voice in the Republican Party, and we look forward to working with him. So that means former President Trump will have an active role in determining not only the messaging, but also the future candidates in a primary sense, if they're going to primary other members of the House. Because let's not forget, the House is up for re-election, the complete House, every 2 years. It's almost like a perpetual election cycle. So they're sending the message that the Republican Party, at least on a congressional level, is firmly attached to the former president. And the former president not only has sway, but he's going to have a say in terms of who is going to be running for certain offices in certain districts, and also the message they're going to put forth and what types of policies they're going to put forth. Now, we can debate whether that's a good strategy or not, whether that helps or hurts the Republicans going into the midterms, but Republican leadership is making it very clear. They are hitching their wagon to the star of the former president, come what may, like it or not. Now, the Liz Cheney, what I'll call the wing of the party, the Never Trumpers of the party, they're saying they're not going away. They're saying that they're going to develop a coalition of Republicans to try to redirect that message and take what they think is their rightful place in the Republican Party back come the midterms. You may have seen there have been a number of reports about some 100 to 150 influential party members, former staffers, former elected officials who are going to be working together to, I guess, work against the momentum of what's been going on in the party right now. I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know if that means that they'll try to field their own candidates. They'll try to get in the way of what the Republican Party does. I don't know if that means they'll try to work with the Democrats to help them win in a year or so. No one knows how that's going to play out. But what is clear is the Republican Party is firmly connected to former President Trump, and he will be a kingmaker, if you will, if you're going to run for office on a federal level, be it House, Senate, and this is going to be a part of the progression to 2024, because former President Trump has made it clear that he plans to run again in 2024. So this is a part of a larger strategy of helping the former president campaign without actually campaigning. And there are also some rumors that former President Trump is getting ready to go back out on the road and start doing his rallies again. So you can see all of this coming together. This is something we'll all have to watch with great interest. This is the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly here, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640. It's the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly here. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. And some folks have been hitting me on Twitter, at Mr. Mo Kelly, M-R-M-O-K-E-L-L-Y, specifically asking me to call out Morgan, producer Morgan, for having a Rolling Stones tattoo.
Bring it on.
All right.
Bring it on, baby. Don't you love cold tequila, by the way?
Okay, since I know that you were going to probably Google in advance, so I'm going to hit you off at the pass.
Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, okay.
Now, here's the trivia question for the Rolling Stones. Name two members of the group. I'm looking at you. Stop Googling.
Keith Richards.
The fact that you started with Keith Richards lets me know you have no idea. No.
Well, I didn't want to be obvious because, you know, the people that really know, we don't have to talk about the main guy because we all know him.
And who is that?
Ronnie Wood. I challenge anyone who knows more rock and roll than me to hit me up on social media at Morgan Victory because you don't know more than me.
Okay. Then who's the person singing on Satisfaction?
What's Satisfaction? Are you satisfied with the segment?
Matt Gaetz is probably not in a good place right now emotionally. Congressman Matt Gaetz in Florida. The reason being is, we'll put it this way. If your best friend, I wouldn't say your best friend, someone that you spend a lot of time with, hanging out with, partying with, think about your guy or your girl who you would always go to parties with, and you have these memories that only you and he and you and she can talk about because either they're embarrassing or they're probably inappropriate or whatever. Think about that person in your life. Well, that person in Matt Gaetz's life, from what we know, was Joel Greenberg. And he just signed his plea deal, emphasis on deal. He's pleading guilty to at least one count of sex trafficking a child. That's really, really concerning for someone like Matt Gaetz. If only because And to be clear, Matt Gaetz has not been formally accused. He has not been charged with anything. But the association, the close association to Joel Greenberg, I think would make anyone uncomfortable. If only because when there's a plea deal, the only way that prosecutors will agree to that plea deal is if you usually give up some information or give up someone. It's not just, okay, we'll plead guilty, and I think my friend did something. No, they give you, you have to give up some information, and they usually will go try to fact check it, verify it, validate it. It's not like you can just make some accusation and then that's good enough. No, they need to actually check up on it. So what would be concerning here is that Joel Greenberg has been given a plea deal, which means that he's most likely given up information on something or someone of great value, and that information has been vetted. Like, for example, if I were to get in trouble and I said, you know what, I'm a bad person, but there's someone worse out there. His name is Mondo, and he's just a horrible individual, and he's guilty of all these crimes. That's not enough to get a plea deal.
Allegedly.
Right. I would have to be able to say, okay, you need to look at Mondo's computer because there's all sorts of music that he's downloaded that he didn't pay for.
That's not, though. That's not do that.
That's hypothetical.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know, you've done far worse, but I just want to talk about the low-level stuff. And then prosecutors would have to verify and vet that information. And if there's anything there, if there's any there, then they would grant my plea deal. But not just on the strength of an accusation. That's why plea deals usually make close associates so uncomfortable. And one of his closest associates, Joel Greenberg's that is Matt Gaetz. And there have been all sorts of insinuations and accusations, informal accusations, regarding an underage girl that he flew or traveled with across state lines to engage in sexual activities with. Serious allegations at this point. And one of the people closest to him has just gotten a plea deal regarding doing just that. So if I were Matt Gaetz, I'd be very concerned. I'd be very, very concerned. Because many times, it may not be the thing that everyone is talking about or everyone is focusing on. There may be something else that Joel Greenberg knows that is of value to prosecutors that no one has been talking about, or could be in addition to what people are talking about. And that's something that Matt Gaetz really can't control at this point. He can't control what Joel Greenberg is going to say. All he can do is react to it. And even though Matt Gaetz is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law when it comes to if he should ever become a defendant, he can't necessarily guard against the formal accusation or the indictment, because the indictment is just asking the grand jury whether there's a probability of there a crime having been committed and whether they can charge Matt Gaetz. It's not necessarily proof of guilt, but also when you're a sitting congressman, this has to do with reputation and standing. And there's certain things that Matt Gaetz cannot guard against. That's why it's a real concerning time for him that Joel Greenberg has signed a plea deal. That means Joel Greenberg is going to get less time because he gave up somebody else, most likely. And who do you think would be of value to federal prosecutors more so than a congressperson? This is the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly here, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. So did you figure out who's the lead singer of Rolling Stones is, Morgan?
Yes.
And that person is?
Oh, you want me to tell you?
Yes.
Oh, Mick Jagger?
Amy King has the news. Was that a question? Mo Kelly here, in for Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 on this Flashback Friday with Kiss in the background. Kiss is in a bit of a kerfuffle with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We'll get to that next hour. And Mondo put up on the board here, it's Shades Day and Chicken Dance Day. What is Chicken Dance Day?
The Chicken Dance You know, can you do the chicken dance?
No, I really can't.
You can't?
I flap your arms.
Yeah, you flap your arms. And then, you got the music? You flap your arms. And then.
I wish y'all could see what Amanda is doing right now.
And then you flap. And then you hop. And then you turn. And you do it again. Quack, quack. Quack.
There's a whole day for this dance?
All day. You have to do it all day.
And on Oktoberfest.
Especially Oktoberfest.
It's a big Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
But we're in May.
So?
Why didn't they just put it in October?
Well, this is the day you celebrate it. You dance for it on that day.
It's but a
you
pre-celebration. It
yeah. This is but just for that up. Dance.
But it's 5 months away.
See, Mo, this is why I stick with rock and roll.
This is rock. This rocks.
With accordions?
Yeah. Accordions rock. Look at Weird Al. He rocks. He should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'm concerned about the direction of this show today.
I am too. It's gonna get real worse. Okay. Really worse right now. There's an actress by the name of, I guess, Carla Delevingne. I've never really pronounced her name because she's a character actress. No disrespect. I know her from movies like Suicide Squad. She played the villain, if you know the story. But she is in the news and she's selling herself. No, I'm serious. She's selling herself. She put first I'll call it a video, but it's not quite a video. It's a video about what she feels about herself. So we're going to first play it, and the fact that we can play it and download it should tell you something. But listen to this. It's called Mine.
My first word was mine. To me, that means something that is most mine. My vagina. I own it. It's mine and no one else's. I choose what I do with it. And no one can take that away from me.
It's hers. It's her vagina. And what she's going to do with it is she's going to sell it. No, I'm being serious. She's videoing. She's taking that video and auctioning it off as a one-of-a-kind NFT, a non-fungible token. You've heard us talk about it. This digital art. And she's going to use the money to raise money for her foundation, quote, which supports women's empowerment, COVID relief, LGBTQIA plus organizations, environmental causes, and fighting institutionalized racism. That clip. Mondo, we've had this conversation about NFTs before, and I think that they're just, you know, JPEGs by another name. We downloaded the video. We played the audio from the video. But she's going to sell this video as an NFT, and I guess a person will have exclusive rights to it. But why do I need to have exclusive rights to a video that she put up on Instagram? Now, I understand that a person who downloads it doesn't have the intellectual property rights or ownership of it, but what's the point of having an NFT of that video? What resale value is there? This doesn't make any sense to me at all.
It's a form of art. It's going to be at such a high resolution that the quality of it is going to be, you know, the quality of it, it's very high quality. So there's value in that. And then also that it's unique in the sense that it's hers. Nobody else has it. Just you have it. And it's a piece of art. It's an artwork.
Okay.
And it's used to raise money for her foundation.
Is it supposed to be, and I assume that there's probably more in which there'll be a full body nude portion of this featuring her? That's what I'm gathering?
I think later on there might be, but for now it's just that part.
Well, that just makes it even worse. We're just getting the video. We're not even actually getting a video portion of her secret garden. We're not getting that?
No, but just the secret garden, and it's a secret. Nobody knows about it.
But I'm not paying for a secret I can't know. Why would I spend money on something that I actually can't have? She just said, it's mine. No one else can have it. But she's putting it on sale, and I'm supposed to buy it, but I can't actually have it, use it, or display it?
Well,
how is that
you
art?
You can probably display it if it's an NFT. So you could have it, you know.
How do you display an NFT? Like a JPEG and print it out?
That, or you can have it on like a high-resolution you know, photo album they have, or on your TV.
Or you could just frame your iPhone.
Or you could frame your iPhone.
Are you allowed to post it on
Instagram? Thank you, Amy King. You understand where I'm going with this. Like, how is this special?
I believe you can post it. I don't know if you can post it on Instagram necessarily, but I wouldn't see why you wouldn't be able to post it anywhere because you own it. So it could you could post no, no, it anywhere you want. But
how, no, you don't.
She
right?
owns
right.
it.
Right. She says it's hers.
Well, she owns it. It's not for sale. It hasn't been sold yet. So essentially she does own it.
Until
she
sells
owns
it.
The physical.
I think she's
part
more
of it.
Renting it out.
Aren't there laws against that? Not in Nevada, though.
No. I guess it depends on what state. Yeah.
I guess it depends on what you mean by renting. I mean, but she's very explicit. Not that explicit. Well, yeah, kind of that explicit. That it's actually hers, and she can do with it what she wants, and she's putting it up for sale. I am still just stuck on the idea that, number one, this is art in the sense of something that someone can have that someone else cannot have. Let me give you an analog. And we were talking about this earlier, a Picasso painting. Okay, you can have an imitation, but it clearly is not the original. There is something specific and unique about an original Picasso painting. In other words, it was created in a way that it actually cannot be exactly duplicated. They can get close to it, but they can't exactly duplicate it. And that's why people pay millions of dollars for an original, unique Picasso painting. But what's original or unique in this NFT sense when in a digital sense, it can be duplicated? That's what I've yet to understand. How is it that this NFT, because it's a video, okay, so it's high quality. Are you saying that it can't be duplicated? That's what someone has yet to tell me, how it cannot be duplicated.
I think that if once, let's say you were to own it, right? You bought it, you own it. I think once, if you decide to duplicate it, I think that's when it starts bringing the value down. Because if you only own it, then there's only one of a kind. There's only one part of it. And if you start releasing it, maybe with a water stamp or at a lower quality, then I think that's when, you know, that's the difference of it.
But see, the thing is, going back to, since we're talking about something that's digital in nature, is it something which is such a high resolution and maybe it has a watermark that it's something that can't be duplicated? When you're talking about the digital realm, ones and zeros, I'm thinking that it can be duplicated because it is digital. I don't know. I just don't get it.
I think since it's
Amy,
digital,
do you get it?
There's a way to duplicate it. Like there's directors that release scripts that you can't copy because it's written on red paper. So you can't copy that. You can't photocopy it. So I think because it is digital, there's always a way to duplicate it.
Here's the point I think we're all missing on this. This woman wants to sell this, right?
Right.
Her little private parts to raise money for women's empowerment.
Right.
She realizes that whoever buys this is going to be some pervert.
Well, you don't know that.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. I think Amy's right on this one.
Well, just
not only that, if you want to talk about empowerment, and then the empowerment is tied back to the physical genitalia, is it really empowerment? I don't know.
Do we know how much she's selling it for?
It's auction, so it's up to, I guess, whoever.
$3.
Up to the biggest creep.
Exactly.
This is the Gary and Shannon Show. Mo Kelly here. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Erin Robinson, producer and creator here. COVID-19 has brought stress and anxiety, and it's so okay to ask for help. Visit calhope.org for free COVID-19 support, or you can call the warm line at 1-833-317-HOPE.
Still paying hundreds of dollars for prescription glasses? Let's change that. At Zenni.com, our factory direct model means no middlemen or outrageous markups. Just the same quality frames and lens options as the other guys for one-tenth the price. Zenni offers prescription glasses starting at $695, as well as affordable sunglasses, blue blockers, and more. The best part? Try any frame, anywhere, with our 3D virtual try-on. Visit Zenni.com today and change the way you buy glasses forever.